Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is John Gallagher, a veteran business reporter with the Detroit Free Press, who for more than two decades has covered architecture, urban and economic development, and other subjects. His books include Great Architecture of Michigan, AIA Detroit, The American Institute of Architects' Guide to Detroit Architecture, and his latest book is Reimagining Detroit, Opportunities for Redefining an American City. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Gallagher.
Thank you very much.
And you wrote recently, John, that local business leaders portrayed Detroit's bankruptcy as a painful but necessary and ultimately positive step towards positioning the city for new growth. So today, I understand the courthouse door closed on those that are suing to protect their pensions, the municipal workers. So do you have a divided city? The business community happy and the working community are not?
That's one way to put it. The retirees, the city municipal unions, representing about 8,000 or 9,000 city workers and about 19,000 city retirees, are just beside themselves over the cuts that are coming to both to the workforce and probably to pensions and health care, although we're not quite sure how that's going to work out yet. And the business community thinks that, Detroit's been Detroit city government has been so dysfunctional for so long that this is probably, a necessary painful cleansing process to go through this bankruptcy. But Wall Street is also very upset because all these firms like Goldman Sachs that bought City of Detroit bonds backed by the full faith and credit of the City of Detroit are now being told they're going to get pennies on the dollar, maybe 10 cents on the dollar. So Wall Street firms are all upset too. So it's not like this is like you're picking on, just the municipal unions in this. This is pain across the board for everybody who does business with the City of Detroit.
Well, Governor Rick Snyder on the Sunday Washington talk shows said that the people in Detroit weren't getting their services. So what is the story behind that? Is there – because when police and firemen are threatened to lose their pensions and they don't get Social Security, that's pretty radical. Tell me what goes on there. Surely the firemen and the police show up when they have to. So what's the complaint against city workers?
It's not so much against city workers. It's just that the city has been so underfunded for so long because of all the things we know about suburban sprawl and deindustrialization and the fact that the federal government subsidized, people leaving the city and building homes in the suburbs for many, many years, for decades. That is broke and so dysfunctional that our services are probably the worst of any big city in the country. Let me explain. At any given night, an estimated like 40% of the streetlights are out in the city of Detroit, 40%. The 911 response times are probably, worse, much worse than the average. Instead of having a cop car there in 5 minutes, you might get one in 45 minutes. People have told me they call 911 and the operator doesn't even answer sometimes. So there's a lot of a real lack of services. And in what Governor Snyder and his emergency manager in the city have said is that, it's going to be very painful for city workers and for the retirees and for the Wall Street bondholders, but they're really thinking of the 700,000 of us, including me, who live in the city of Detroit, that, we deserve better services. And by kind of stiffing the Wall Street people and by inflicting pain on the city workers, on the unions and the retirees, you'll free up money to actually make this a workable, livable city again for everybody else. That's the argument. So,
but why punish people who have worked hard, presumably, and if it's not their fault, and that they paid into their pensions, they expect it. That's a social contract, isn't it? A pension.
Oh, right. Yeah. There's no question. The big tragedy here is what may happen to city retirees. I've talked to many city retirees who tell me, I'm on medication. I'm not going to be able to afford my medication. I live on, my pension. I get, whatever it is, $25,000, $30,000 a year. That's what I live on. And you're telling me you're going to cut that. There is going to be a huge amount of human pain inflicted on this, unless they come up with some way to spare, the current retirees and only, with the younger workers, you know, sort of cut off the pensions for those still working in some fashion, much as, you know, in Congress you hear talk about reforming Social Security only for those who are, say, 45 and younger. So there could be some way out of this, but the problem is there doesn't appear to be a lot of money in the till. The city's tax rates are already the highest allowed in the state. They've been borrowing. They've been running huge. I mean, $100 million, $200, $300 million deficits every year. They've been borrowing very heavily year after year after year with no hope of paying it back. And so the city finances are just a shambles, and they've got to do something to try and straighten them out. So One of the advisors to the city in all this has portrayed this as sort of a Bernie Madoff scheme where Wall Street's been buying into a totally insolvent city for the last 10 to 15 years, and they should have known better. So, yeah, I mean, there is a social contract, and it's probably going to be broken unless they can figure out some way around it and make the Wall Street people pay even more than they're going to pay.
Again, I'm speaking with John Gallagher, a veteran business reporter with the Detroit Free Press, who for more than two decades has covered architecture, urban and economic development, and other subjects. His books include Great Architecture of Michigan, AIA Detroit, the American Institute of Architects' Guide to Detroit Architecture, and his latest book is Reimagining Detroit, Opportunities for Redefining an American City. Now, this has obviously been long in coming. You've had, in the last six decades, the population of Detroit's gone from 1.8 million to 700,000. You had, over the decades, the big auto companies and the big unions seem to sort of, in many ways, get sort of fat, dumb, and happy together. Meanwhile, eventually, I don't know what the percentage of cars that are manufactured in the South and in these right-to-work states, but I think that's clearly where there's been a massive migration, massive downsizing, robotics have come in, et cetera. So the main business is affected enormously. So give us a sense of what the big drivers of this slow-motion catastrophe are.
Yeah. Well, I guess there was probably, if you were a blue-collar worker, there was no better place to be in the 1950s than in Detroit. I mean, wages were something like 130% of the national average. There were, you know, there were whole generations of families that worked for Fords or GM or Chrysler. You could be a family of five or six kids with a working husband in the auto factory, and the mom would stay at home and raise five or six kids, and you could send the kids to Catholic school, and you could have a second home up north. I mean, it was just the best possible lifestyle for working people, and it was based on these huge monopoly market share that existed for the auto companies and the steel companies and American industry in general in the post-war years. And as other countries recovered from World War II, the Japanese and the European auto companies came along, the steel companies, and began to eat into the Americans' market share. People began to suburbanize, and that was fine with the federal government. They subsidized that. And all of that drained jobs and tax base out of the city, so that now, if you look at the tax base in regional Southeast Michigan, suburban Detroit, the city of Detroit occupies just 6 or 7% of the tax base. 93, 94% of the tax base is now in the suburbs of Detroit. So the city has been hollowed out. And as you said, we went from almost 2 million people down to 700,000, you know, a two-thirds percentage decline. A lot of other cities are suffering the same thing, but not quite as far along as Detroit is. I mean, percentage declines of 40% population are pretty common in old line industrial cities. So Detroit is kind of at the leading edge of sort of the broken model of what were great industrialized centers, metropolitan centers in the mid-20th century. And all of these, I mean, the Buffaloes, St. Louis's, Cleveland's, Pittsburgh's, have all declined. Some have done better than others in recovering. Why Detroit did not do better, that's a long story. But, you know, it calls to mind Hemingway's famous quote about you go broke two ways, slowly and then quickly. The slowly was the 50-year decline in suburban sprawl and loss of factory jobs, and the quickly part was the, you know, sort of the bad decisions made over the last 10 years where they were just borrowing just to keep their heads above water.
So, John Gallagher, what are some of the proposals here in terms of you mentioned that that Wall Street may take a haircut, but the idea that that the courthouse door is now closed on attempts for the pensioners to sue, and of course the according to the Constitution of Michigan, these pensions should be protected, but now it's in the hands of a federal judge and the courthouse door is closed. There's even some talk of selling the art collection, which is apparently substantial. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it, to sell that to a bunch of, oligarchs, the one percenters, who will put these paintings in a mansion somewhere in East Hampton and nobody ever see them. Why not sell them to the federal government? I mean, what kind of creative ways are there to raise money, or is it just are the same people in charge that made all these reckless, desperate borrowing?
Well, the business about the art collection, through a kind of a quirky situation, the city of Detroit owns the art collection for the Detroit Institute of Arts. In most cities, that's not the case, I think, but Detroit does hold title to the artwork. And so it's been suggested that the city sell off its Picassos and whatever in what is usually thought to be a top five collection in the United States, and raise some money that way. The problem with that, of course, is that you kind of destroy the cultural heart of the city. And the governor has said he doesn't want to do that. And in fact, his attorney general has given an opinion that says they can't do that. But all of this is going to be litigated. The Michigan Constitution protects municipal pensions for city workers. Some people believe that federal law in a federal bankruptcy case would trump that, but that's never been litigated. So that will be litigated in this case, and we'll find out which is stronger, the Michigan Constitution or the federal bankruptcy code. And that will set a precedent for decades to come. The whole business about selling the art collection, that will probably wind up in court too. I mean, everyone expects that this is not going to be what some call a quick rinse bankruptcy like General Motors went through a few years ago, where they're in and out in 30 days. This is more like 3 years. And every single question is going to be litigated right down the line. Can the pensioners sue? Well, as of today, they can't. As you noted, the bankruptcy judge in federal court said, no, I'm going to take all this stuff. Other suits are on hold until I decide what to do. But will that hold up when it goes to the Supreme Court? Well, we'll see. So, there's all kinds of schemes and dreams and suits and lawsuits and challenges out there. And, we're just going to have to live through this for the next couple of years.
Well, I thank you for joining us, John Gallagher. And, let's stay in touch. I hope there's some good news here somewhere. I'm searching for it, and I'm sure you're looking for it,
well,
too.
Well, if I could just take 20 seconds. I mean, sure. There is a lot of good stuff happening in the city. I mean, the economy is actually, the regional economy is doing pretty well, and our downtown and midtown areas are thriving. And so it's actually, the failure of the city government sometimes reflects badly on the whole thing, the culture and the heart of the city and the economy, when it's actually a discrete piece that we're working through here. So, life needs to be a lot better than it is in Detroit. But, we're hanging in there and we're moving ahead.
Well, again, I thank you for joining us, John Gallagher.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with John Gallagher, who's a veteran business reporter with the Detroit Free Press, who for more than two decades has covered architecture, urban and economic development. And his books include Great Architecture of Michigan, AIA Detroit, the American Institute of Architects Guide to Detroit Architecture. And his latest book is Reimagining Detroit, Opportunities for Redefining an American City. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with some political psychologists about the latest political scandals.
Save the money, just say what it used to be. Man, how we used to tear apart this town. Put a dollar into the machine and you remember how.